Koach really for putting together this year. It's a very big plus that we get to learn such a Heilige Sefer, such a holy, holy book. I share that when I had the plus of learning Tanya with Wolfson for a couple of years, the first year Wolfson brought out his pushka, and we each put a coin into the pushka. The schus of tzedakah should help us, and the atzishmaya this year should grow and have success. Maybe everybody can be tzedakah later today. We should be zocha for the atzishmaya and this mitzvah of learning this very, very special sefer. The Tanya Rav Wolfson taught us is the Torah shezachsav of chassidus. Tanya, he was a Shneur Zalman of Liadi, was a tremendous genius in Moach. We know the movement of Chassidus, the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, started in the 18th century. Baal Shem Tov, we don't know exactly when he was born. Some say he was born in 1680, some say he was born in 1700. We know when he was Nifter. He was Nifter in 1760. And the Baal Shem Tov was Mechadish, the Derech and Avodas Hashem, built on the principles of the Kabbalah, of the Ariyah Kadosh, with a whole new approach, or I should say different emphases, an emphasis on Simcha, an emphasis on Avos Yisrael, an emphasis on Tefillah, and Kavanos and Tefillah, an emphasis on Pnimius HaTorah, taking the inner Torah and reviewing it to the outer realms to bring the deeper secrets out to everyone. And the Baal Shem Tov had a very great student who took over from the Baal Shem Tov after the Baal Shem Tov started this Derech in Avodas Hashem, and that student was the great Reb Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mizritch. And the Mizritch Maggid had many great tzaddikim and gedolim who were his students. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditches, filled with Abbas Yisrael, the great Reb Elimelech of Mezhensk, the Naim Elimelech, was a student of the Maggid of Mizritch. Balatanya was also one of those students of the Maggid of Mizritch, Shneur Zalman of Liadi. The Chassidim say that each one of the students of the Maggid had a different nekuda, a different point of expertise. Balatanya's nekuda was the moach, was the mind. And the Mizritcher Maggid wanted to create a kitzur shulchan aruch, or a shulchan aruch for chassidus. He asked the Balatanya to write it. The Balatanya wrote the shulchan aruch harav, which is a very, very profound work. It's the shulchan aruch, it has halachos, but it also has tremendous lumdus, tremendous analysis of the halacha within that. In fact, the chassidim say that when it came time to bury the Maggid of Mizritch, so they put a goro, they had a lottery as to who would stand where in doing the tahara, in the burial of the Maggid of Mizritch, and the goro came out that the Balatanya had the schus of carrying the head of the Maggid of Mizritch. Because the Balatanya, he was standing by the head. Balatanya, his derech is a derech of seichel, a derech of the intellect. And so there are a lot of sifrei chassidus that are very, every sefer is special and inspiring, but what the norm in sifrei chassidus is that it's words of inspiration that are typically clothed within a pshat in a pasuk, with a hint in a pasuk. There's a mala to the derech of the Balatanya. It's not psukim on chumash here. This sefer, the sefer of the Tanya, is a systematic exposition of basic principles of Avodas Hashem, and ultimately principles really of what the Chassidus is all built on. So learning this sefer is a tremendous mala that you're learning in order principles of Avodas Hashem. Just two last points of introduction, and then we'll hopefully start to delve into the sefer itself. The Wolfson said to us, and we were learning Tanya, said that the Maskilim, the so-called enlightened Jews of Eastern Europe who opposed Chassidus and opposed, ultimately ended up opposing Torah and Mitzvot, leading Jews astray. So they, when they used to study Chumash, Rashi, and other things, they would focus on all the non-important matters. They say a story that there was a maskil once who met Rav Chaim of Halajin. He said to him, "What are the names of Rashi's daughters?" Rav Chaim of Halajin said, "You know, I don't know, and I don't really care. But I do know what Rashi says. You have to focus on what's really important, not on the incidental matters." So the question is sort of like the about question. That's not the focus. The focus is going to be Bezrat Hashem, study the matter itself. It's not about it. That's one, you know, important point. The other important point, and this is in general, is that the Derech of Chassidus, as we know, was very controversial. Not in the lifetime of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov revealed the Derech of Chassidus, started to teach, tract Talmidim. It wasn't at all controversial. But after the Baal Shem Tov, in the lifetime of the Maggid, and in the lifetime of the Baal HaTanya, it was very, very controversial. And there was a tremendous hisnagdus, opposition to Chassidus. And that opposition ended up becoming spearheaded and led by the greatest Talmud Chacham of the world at the time, the Gaon of Vilna. Gaon of Vilna put Chassidus in Cheirus. He said a person's not allowed to talk to a Chassid. A person can't be close to a Chassid. First, and then he went further in the second letter. He said that about the Hasidim, the rule of Moridim v'lo Ma'alan apply. That if they fall into a pit, don't get them out. Let them die. There's no law of Pikuach Nefesh to save the life of a Hasid. The Gaon of Vilna was extraordinarily opposed to the Hasidim. Now, clearly, the Gaon of Vilna was L'shem Shamayim, and the Gaon of Vilna was a tremendous tzaddik. The Baal HaTanya was a tremendous tzaddik. The Baal HaTanya is Kodesh, the Sefer HaTanya is Kodesh Kedashim. And what the Gaon says is Kodesh Kedashim. We have to understand this very big machloka. And how do we, tiny ants, relative to such angels, how do we relate to this machloka? I've heard from my Rebbeim, especially from the Tichina Rebbe, you realize that Elu ve'Elu divrei Elokim Chai. Same way there's a very strong machloka between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai is Kodesh Kedashim, and Beis Hillel is Kodesh Kedashim, the Gaon of Vilna is Kodesh Kedashim, and the Chassidim are Kodesh Kedashim. Kodesh Kedashim. He said the following hesed. He said that unfortunately galus is a function of sinas chinam. Because of sinna, between the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the hatred between Jews, Lashon Hara, we're presently in Galus. Part of the punishment of Galus is that certain good things that in a perfect world would be accomplished in a pleasant way, because of Galus, they are accomplished through Machlok. Because of Galus, these good things are accomplished through Machlok. You see, the truth is, Chassidus focuses very much on Kavana, on doing things with devotion, Tefillah b'Kavana, shaking lulav with Kavana, the spirituality, the neshama, shebedavar, the soul of the matter. To take a phrase that I heard from Tzvi, Rabbi Yitzchak Meyer Morgenstern. I heard a shiur from him on the website Kol HaLashon. He said there are two types of avodas Hashem. There's avodas shor abor, and there's avodas levyasa. Avod Ashar Abor is to just do it, just to do the mass and it's like an ox. Ashar Abor. The Avod of doing things, to shake lulav the right way, to hear shofar the right way, to do it, that the mass that was done right. Kedusha. There's another Avod. The Avod of Yasa. Shiach comes, tzaddikim are going to eat Sudas of Shalav. Going to eat the meal of the Lev Yasa. Avod of the Lev Yasa is the Avod of Shashuim, of delight. The Shashuim of the Lev Yasa are experienced through the study of Emunah, through Dveikus Vashem. There's Avod Ashar Abor, which is doing the mitzvah, and there's Avod of Lev Yasa, which is understanding about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding Emunah, Dveikus Vashem. That's the Shashuim, that's the delight. Chassidus focuses on Avodas Leviyasa. Kavana, enjoying a mitzvah, understanding that when you shake lulav, you're really bringing together the letters of Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you're connecting with Achdus Pasha, that the fact that Hashem fills the world with His presence, that Hashem is everywhere, that Hashem, you're feeling Hashem everywhere. It's an avod of tanugim, an avod of delights, an avod of pleasures, of emunah. There's a danger. The danger that when a person gets too into the kavana, he forgets the avodah shara bar. He forgets to actually do the mitzvah. The person can go and have kavana and think that Seder night, it's Pesach, and Pesach, now there are tremendous oros. Oros is another term for neshama. Tremendous spiritual experiences now. Shalom bahadraga, they're not coming step by step. Oros bedilug. Now the tremendous lights, mochin the godless, before the mochin the katnus, you start thinking, whoa, unbelievable, achdus pashut, Hashem is everywhere, and you forget to eat the nut. So the Gaon of Vilna with his machlokas against the chassidus, he was trying to make sure that the chassidus didn't get so caught up in inspiration, mysticism, attachment with Hashem, passion, Kavana, and not do the mitzvahs. Because then Chas V'Shalom, you're on the road to Christianity. Christianity is that when Hashem said, "Umaltem," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Bayom Hashmi Yimol B'Sar Olaso," that on the eighth day, you should do Bris Milah. No, it doesn't mean it. Also, Yish came, they said, you don't need to do Bris Milah, all you need to do is Umaltem B'Sar Olasalev. Just circumcise your heart, make it into a vague, passionate spirituality, and that's it, you don't need to do things. It's not Torah. Torah is you have to have a little shor bar. You have to misak in olam amase. You have to fix this world by doing mitzvahs in the way Hashem said to do them. So yes, you want to focus on kavana, but the kavana can't come at the expense of doing mitzvahs in the right way. So the Gaon of Vilna, his opposition to the chassidim, that's what the Tanach Tzedek writes, the opposition of the Gaon of Vilna was to prevent the chassidim from going down the path of Shabtai Tzir, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Chalila, the path of Oso Ish. Stay within the realm of Torah and mitzvot. Now the chassidim have something to teach in this mandan. That's what the whole chiddush of the chassidim. You can't just have a avodah shor abor without a avodah lev yasa. To just do mitzvot without the kavana, you're missing a great deal. You're missing the sod. You're missing the pnimius. You're missing the zveikus. Atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem ayom, the pasuk says. When you're davuk b'Hashem, you're alive. You just do the acts. You're not living. You're not really alive. You're not fulfilling mitzvot in the right way. You can have something to teach the world of the Gaon of Vilna. So the truth is, in an ideal world, these two different ways would complement each other, would help each other, and we get to an Olam Metukan, to a perfect synthesis and balance. Because we are in Galus, as the Gemara says, it's part of the punishment of Galus is Machloka. Therefore, we had to have this correction, counterbalance through the difficult machlok. That's what I heard from Mr. Chinah Rebbe, from Yitzchak Morgenstern. I saw something else. And I say for Yama Chachma, Shnas Tavshin Samachet, he said you have to realize that when we come to Avodas Hashem, and especially Limud of Chassidus or of Kabbalah, you have to broaden your mind to live with paradox. Limud of Kabbalah is called Sisrei Torah. Sefer Torah has two meanings. Sefer, that which is hidden, secret. It also means stira, that which is contradictory. You have to broaden your mind to encompass two contradictions, to encompass a contradiction, two opposing viewpoints, and see how they are both emes, both true, both emes. Said that the Rabbi Chava writes in about the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai are typically more machmir. Beis Hillel are typically more mekel. So let's say there's a food item. Beis Shammai's derech would be the shayla about the food item, Beis Hillel is more mekel, smoky keys. Rabbi Chava said, what's the machloka? Machloka, says the Rabbi Chava, is between neshama and guf. But to use the language of medieval Jewish philosophy, between tzura and chomer. Chomer is guf, tzura is neshama. The derech of Beis Shammai is the derech of tzura, the derech of neshama. To reach to neshama, you have to break guf. So they say, oh, there's a shiloh about this guf, stay away from it. There's a question about this physical item, stay away so that you can strengthen your neshama. Derech of Beis Hillel is the derech of guf. It's the derech of saying, within this chomer, there is a lukus. Not that I'm going to avoid this chomer to get to more tzura. I'm going to find Hashem within the chomer. Therefore, I want to permit this. This is allowed. Because I can find the light of Hashem in this too. So the derech of Beis Shammai is a derech of getting to the neshama by breaking the guf. Derech of Beis Hillel is a derech of finding the neshama within the guf. Finding the light of Hashem in the physical thing, and therefore allowing much more physical things. And much more physical things are mutter. Much more physical things, you can find the light of Hashem in them. Whereas derech of Beis Shammai, much more physical things are usher to break more physicality and get to more neshama. Similarly, he said, or Morgenstern said, that that's machlokas between Gra and the Baal Shem. Derech of the Gra is to reach Kedusha through Shviras Hara, through fighting the Chitzonim, through fighting the Klipos, through fighting that which is bad. You see this in the Derech of the Talmid Agra. So for example, the Gra's major Talmud was the Chaim of Elazhin. Chaim of Elazhin had a very big Talmud, Yosef Zundel of Salant. Yosef Zundel was perhaps one of the greatest Talmidim of Chaim of Elazhin. Yosef Zundel was the inspiration of Rabbi Yisrael Salant. Yosef Zundel started the Derech HaMusser. The truth is, the Derech HaMusser, Rabbi Yisrael Salant, Rav Kelem, Slobodka, Mevardi, Derech HaMusser, which really became enormously accepted by the yeshivos, by Lithuanian Jewry, by Ashkenazic Jewry, non-Hasidic Jewry. Derech HaMusser is really based on the Torah of Chaim of Elazhin. Now, the Torah of the Gra. The Gra himself even talks about some of the methodologies that the Baalei Musar have. The Baalei Musar encouraged having time to learn Sifrei Yira, books of Yerushalayim, and to be Mashanim, to repeat to oneself phrases of Musar, phrases of Yerushalayim. It all comes from the Pirush HaGra and Mishlei. It's all there in the Pirush HaGra and Mishlei. That was the derech of the Talmid HaGra. Now, the derech of the Talmid HaGra is to fight evil. Fighting the evil within oneself. That's what Musar is. To fight the evil in me. Fight the Yitzhahara in me. Fight the evil. Be misrachik from it. Break it down. Conquer it. And go to the way of Kedusha. That's the derech of the Talmid HaGra. The derech of Musar. The derech of the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov is a different derech. The derech of Achdus Hashem. The derech of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. The derech of Yehuda. See Achdus Hashem. See Achdus Pashem. Hashem is everywhere. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is Hashem. Everything is Kedusha. Hashem is everywhere. It's a different derech. Not the derech of Shviras Hara. It's the derech of Gilui Achdus Hashem. Revealing the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are both emes. Both emes drachim. These are good ways, different ways to get close to Hashem. The Gra, he was fighting the Chassidim. He thought the Chassidim were going to be, you know, a Yetzer Hara form that was Chas V'Shalom going to lead Jews astray. And that it wasn't so. Contrary, Chassidus was mechazik a lot of Jews. But there were other groups and other movements that certainly in that era did lead Jews astray, whether it be Haskalah or Reform, all sorts of isms that pushed Jews away from Torah and Mitzvot. And that's really, you know, the way to see the fight of the Gra. The fight of the Gra is against those isms and for Kiddusha. Okay, so these are just introductory points. We'll now start the Tanya itself, and hopefully we'll be zocha to grow from the Tanya. The Tanya begins with a Braisa. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, so per gimel de Nida, the end of the third chapter of Nida. Mashbi en osa ti tzadik val ti rasha, v'apilu kol olam kulo omen l'cha tzadik ata, v'ye b'inecha ki rasha. So here is a vart that I heard from Rav Wolfson on the very first word. Very first word of the Tanya, yeah. Sorry, I have a pen? No, unfortunately not. Sorry. Very first word is Tanya. Tanya means you learned in a Braisa. So Wilson asks the following question. If you look up in the Gemara, in Nida, most versions of the Gemara do not have it as a Braisa. In most Girsaos, it's not a Braisa. It's Itzma. It's a Memra. Something from the Amorim. So why did Tanya write Tanya? And that's what the book is called. We all call it Tanya. It should have said Shaninan, we learn Sof Perek Gimel Danida, or Itmar, it was taught Sof Perek Gimel Danida. The truth is there are some yourselves who do have it down as Tanya, and in the Bryce, in the Zohar, it's quoted as Tanya, as a Bryce. So Wilson said two explanations here. One is that the Zohar says that there's a certain force of evil whose name is Taf Nun Yud Alef. And whenever we learn Braiso, begin with Tanya, we break that force of evil. So Tanya wanted to mention this word, choose this girsa, this version, to break that force of evil. And he said something much deeper. This is from the Or of Yisrael. The Abdullah of Ashura Hashur Abdullah. Rabbi Yisrael said, why is it that when Baruch Hu sent Moshe to redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, Moshe was told to introduce Hashem as Aleph Hey Yud Hey? They'll ask me, who sent you? Tell them, Ey Asher, Ey Yeshmachan Yalech, Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Why that Shem Hashem? Why not a different Shem Hashem? Why is that the name of Hashem used to redeem Klal Yisrael? The Or of Yisrael says an amazing thing. The Or of Yisrael says the essence of Tshuva is connected. Oh, okay, we'll go that way. Thank you. The Or of Yisrael says the essence of Tshuva is to be a person of the future. It's such a big challenge to be someone of the future. We're weighed down by so much baggage. But I did this and I did that. You know what Tshuva's all about? Tshuva's tomorrow's a new day. And I am tomorrow. I'm not yesterday. I'm tomorrow. I'm a new person. Klal Yisrael are in Mitzrayim. How are we going to leave Mitzrayim? We're Mem Teshari Tumah, 49 gates of Tumah. We're not doing Bismillah anymore, which is the mitzvah Avraham Avinu was given. We're worshipping idols. Hashem's going to save us. Hey, Yeshlachan Yalech. I will be. In Lashon Chol, in the secular sense, the word Ehya means I will be. The future, I will be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you based on what you will be. And you can do tshuva based on what you can become. Don't think of what you are. Don't think of what you've been. Think of what you can become. And that's how you do tshuva. Tshuva is about, the essence of tshuva is kabbalah lahava. The essence of tshuva is not harata l'sha'avar. Rambam says there's three parts to tshuva. Harata l'sha'avar, vidui, kabbalah lahava. The essence of tshuva is kabbalah lahava, is being something new in the future. The essence of tshuva is being a future person. So the name of tshuva is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. The name of geula is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. That is the essence of tshuva, being new, being someone of the future. This is also found in the Sheni Shmuel in Rosh Hashanah. Sheni Shmuel points out, Gemara says in the Sechas Rosh Hashanah, Arba Dvarim Korin Gzardino Shel Adam. four things that can tear a person's klardim. Gemara says, Shin Hashem, changing a person's name, Shin Masa, changing what a person does, Shin Makom, moving someplace else. He says, I understand. Shin Masa means changing what I do. Shin Makom means moving to a different place. Shin Hashem means changing my name. If I change my name, but I didn't change what I do, how could that break the Gzar Din? The Gzar Din is because I do Averus. So I'm still doing Averus. Instead of calling myself Zev, I call myself now Yaakov. I understand. But Togo Lusheret Biyadu. I go to the mikvah with the source of the Tumah. How could any of these things, other than Shinui Maaseh, change me? Shinui Maaseh, if I change my actions, I understand. But if I do any other Shinui, other than Shinui Maaseh, how could it be Korea Gzar Din or Shaladam? So in fact, the Rishna says that maybe all of these things are together with Shini Masa. That's four different things. The Shini Shmuel says, no, Shini Masa means that you change all of your actions. You change the past actions too. You go through a process of tshuva. All the other things, Shini Hashem, Shini Makom, which are Korea Gzadina Shal Adam, that's with Kabbalah Haba, with Al-Kharag Lashaba. It's when you accept. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm on this path. I'm off the path. I'm not doing these averus anymore. Now I'm doing this. But do I have harata? Was I masaking the path? Did I do tshuva? Did I get stuck up for all the averus? I didn't fix the path. But I'm not doing what I did then. I'm doing different things, and that's the essence. The essence of tshuva is doing different things. The essence of tshuva is the future. Kabbalah lahaba. The essence of tshuva is to be a person of the future. To be able to dream, I can be different, I could be better, I could be somebody new. That's why the Tanya was a safer, really, to inspire us to get closer to Hashem, chose this version to begin with Tanya. Because in Hebrew, there are four letters that make things future. Otiot Eitan, Aleph Yud Tav. So for example, if I want to say, I will sit, ani eshev. He will sit, hu yeshev. We will sit, anu neshev. You will sit, ata teshev. To turn the verb into the future tense, you use one of these letters, tat nun yud and aleph. The Tanya begins his book with Tanya, to say, to hint to this nakuda, to be connected to the future. We shouldn't be attached to the past. What we've been, we've been. We can become somebody new. We can be future people. That's the essence of tshuva. We can be different. Let's think of what we can do differently. Let's become that different thing. And then we go forward. Okay, that's a side point. This book is based on this braisa. In the end of Nida, the end of the third parak of Nida. The Tanya is going to begin with many questions about the Braisa. He's going to introduce many hakdamos, many basic introductions. After all of these hakdamos, he's going to start to put together the answers. So what's the Braisa talking about? The Braisa is talking about a child. The Braisa says that the best moments of a person's life are when we are in the womb of our mother. We don't have any worries. We sit in the womb. All of our needs are taken care of. And there's a malach on top of us with a candle which illuminates from one end of the world to the other. And it's amazing. It's Gan Eden. And as we're coming out, the malach makes us take a shvuah. Mashbin of, make him take the shvuah before he's born. And what is the shvuah that we have to take? To heat tzadik, falti rasha. The Malach tells this neshama, each one of us, as we come into the world, take a shvuah and swear that you're going to be a tzaddik. You're not going to be a rasha. Afilu kol ha'olam kulo omer lecha tzaddik ata. But even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, heye beinecha ki rasha. Be in your eyes as if you are a rasha. The Tanya's going to ask a lot of questions on this. Even before we get into the questions, of Wolfson raised another question. Why do we have to take a shvuah? Why a shvuah? Why take an oath? We can, the Malach, first of all, we don't remember this oath. Does anybody remember this Shvua? You can even ask a halachic Shaila. For a Shvua to be binding, you need to be a Bar Das. You have to be 13 years old, you're a baby. How's that a Bar Das? Say the Neshama's a Bar Das, maybe. Where's an Akita Chefetz? Where is the holding of an object for it to be a Shvua? What's the shot in this Shvua? Take a Shvua, be a Tzad. So I took a Shvua, how did that help? The Machzedek explains, Wilson quoted this, we need to be Mis'amik more in the Inyan of a Shvua. We need to understand the Inyan of a Shvua much deeper. What is the content of a Shvua? Shvua, the root of it is Sheva, seven. Hashem created the world in 7 days, as we'll learn, then it's a Sheva. Tanya, 7 days of creation are really 7 Giluyim of Hashem. 7 revelations, 7 Midos, Hashem revealing His light in 7 ways. Midos, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisrael, and Malchus. These Midos, these Giluyim of Hashem, are really the foundation of the whole natural world. All the Kochos in the world are expressions of these Midos and composites of these Midos. That's why the world has 7 days. 7 days of the week, because the whole world is an expression of these Midos, 7 Giluyim, 7 Midos. And a person is an Olam Katan, a person is a small universe. So we can say that when you look at a person and all of the kochos that a person has, the ability to think, the ability to do, the ability to care, the ability to cry, all the different kochos that a person has, you can say that these kochos can be divided into 7 Midos. That's the entirety of a person. Shvua is Milashon Sheva. A Shvua is an arousal. All the kochos within the person. One way to arouse it is by actually taking the Sefer Torah and saying, Ani Nishba, I swear. But sometimes when all the 7 kochos are aroused, that's also a Shvua. Even if you don't hold on to a Sefer Torah, that's also a Shvua. Every koch within you is aroused and inspired and fired up and passionate to do something that's a Shvua. That's what the Sfasema says. We know the Gemara says that a person cannot take a Shvua to go against the Torah. I can't take a Shvua. A person says a Shvua, he's not going to sit in a Sukkah. It's not Chal. Muzlab only Har Sinai. The Shvua at Har Sinai, that we all took a Shvua at Har Sinai to keep the Torah, and we can't take a Shvua against an earlier Shvua. Ask the Sfasema, when did we ever swear at Har Sinai? When do we ever swear? Har Sinai, we came, Hashem offered us the Torah, we said, Nasa v'nishma. Where's the Shvua? Where did we say, I swear b'chai ha-melech, I swear by the life of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Where's the Nikita Chepetz? Where do we hold on to a Sefer Torah? But when Eliezer comes to take a Shvua from Avram Avinu, Avram says, Sino yad kotachas yureshmi, put your hands and hold on to my brismiwa, hold on to an object, Nikita Chepetz is part of the Shvua. Where's the Nikita Chepetz at Har Sinai? We have to understand deeper. What is a Shvua? A Shvua is Sheva. A Shvua is His Oru Shiva Sakochel Sheba Adam. A Shvua is arousing, inspiring, firing up all 7 kochos within a person, that every fiber of one's being, every ounce of energy one can ever have, is fired up, is impassioned, is inspired to go and do this task. So one way to inspire all the kochos is to say the words, Ani nishba b'chai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I swear by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to hold the Sefer Torah, and to have all of that experience. That's the way to arouse all the kochos. But another way to arouse all the kochos is when it's so clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed at Har Sinai, that Einoz Mulvado, Atah Har'esa Ladas, you were shown, you saw, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's animating everything, giving life to everything. Hashem is everything. Hashem is sounding everywhere. When you saw the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every fiber of our being was dedicated to serve Hashem. There wasn't a part of our being that didn't jump in. So that is a Shvua, because that's the essence of a Shvua. Shvua is not just to say words in a certain way. Saying words in a certain way is ma'orer. It arouses the entirety of the person. The Mamad Har Sinai, the revelation of Har Sinai was so unbelievably clear, so inspiring. You saw Kaddish, we all saw Kaddish Baruch Hu, every fiber of the neshama was charged up. So that is a shmua. That's the muzba ba'omi. That's what the Sfasema says in Parshas Matos, I think. So that's the pshat here in this shmua too. The shmua here, mashbiyin also kodem shenolad, means that every fiber of our neshama, every ounce of energy within us is fired up to serve Hashem. It's all inspired to be tzaddik and not to be a rasha, and to realize that even if people tell us that we're tzaddikim, we should view ourselves kirasha as if we are not. Every part of our being was fired up. That's the pshat in the shvuah. In other words, the shvuah is to give us kochos. We need to learn this Gemara and remember that the Malach made us take a shvuah and be filled up with kochos and realize we have tremendous energy for this task. This gets to a big inyan. As we'll see in the Tanya, the Tanya is going to talk later in Perek Aleph. A person has two types of soul. A person has a biological soul, a nefesh ha-bahamis, and a person has a nefesh ha-lukis, a godly soul. Nefesh ha-bahamis, you can almost think of it as the evolutionary person, a person who's like an animal, who's just a different form, you know, with senses and desires and passions. Nefesh ha-lukis is the godly soul, the ability to be godly and attached to Hashem, to be dabuk b'Hashem. And obviously our challenge in life is to conquer the nefesh ha-bahamis and ultimately to transform the nefesh ha-bahamis and to make it all into elukus, that the whole person should be a godly being. That's the challenge. But life is a struggle. The Tanya talks about this in different places. It's a big struggle between the nefesh ha-bahamis and the nefesh ha-lukis. It's a big struggle within a person. Am I going to be a physical being who gets excited about food and who runs after pleasures? Or am I going to be a neshamadika person who gets excited about the Brit Torah and gets excited about Kedusha and about Tefillah and serves Hashem and loves serving Hashem? That's the challenge of life. And there's a big battle. It's a wrestling match, the Tanya says at one place. Fighting. It's a war. Two armies fighting over the small city. It's a tremendous battle. Knowing that there was a shvuah that we took to be a tzaddik should give us strength to know we have the power to win in this battle. We've been charged up. We have tremendous energy. What do I mean by this? There's many times that a person discovers he has kochos that he never knew he had. You see this all over the world. I remember there was a book called Emotional Intelligence. So the first page of that book, it was the bestseller maybe 10 years ago or so, EQ, Emotional Intelligence. So the first page of the book, he said a story about a woman in Nebuch. She had fallen asleep at the wheel driving her car. She drove her car off of a bridge into a river, and she got out of the car. She realized that her baby was in the car drowning. She picked up the car to get the baby out. And her love for her baby was so strong, she literally picked up a car and broke it open to get the baby out. Because, now, typically, could I pick up a car? Could you pick up a car? Could any of us pick up a car? No. But in a moment of tremendous crisis, she suddenly discovers, you know, reservoirs of love and devotion, loyalty and strength that he never knew he had. It's a shvuah moment. That's a shvuah moment. A moment when that woman picked up that car, that was a shvuah moment, that all seven kochos were active. Typically, we only use a small fraction of our kochos. I remember, again, years ago, probably 15 years ago or so, there was, I used to travel to yeshiva, maybe more now, maybe it was 20 years ago. So I used to travel to yeshiva on the subways. So they used to have these ads for ABC television. They said, studies say people only use 10% of their brain. How about using a little less? Watch ABC television. That was the ad. But that's the true point. People use 10% of their brain. A shvua, though, arouses 100% of the brain. A shvua arouses all the kochos that a person could possibly have, every koach that one has within him. the shvur that Hashem made us swear, that the Malach made us swear that we're going to be a tzaddik, means all of my kochos are there. When I get into this battle between the Nefesh of Bahamas and the Nefesh of Lukis, and I try to be a tzaddik, I need to remember, I have tremendous kochos for this battle. Every koch within me has already been charged up for this battle. I can call them all these troops are ready to go. I give them the summons and they're all going to join. This is not going to be, you know, a couple of soldiers fighting a couple of soldiers. I've got thousands of soldiers on my side. I have kochos here. I have kochos. It should give us chizuk. It should give us encouragement. We have koach. Hashem has given us kochos. Tremendous kochos to succeed in this battle. A shvua, because it charges up every part of the person, because it arouses every koach within the person, gives a person added koach. He now has added, he can accomplish much more. Based on this, you can understand the shvuos that we find in the Torah. So, I mentioned Avram Avinu sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he made him take a shvua not to engage, not to be ma'aris, not to be makadesh, a daughter from Bnos Kenat. It had to be from Avram Avinu's family. And we find that Yaakov Avinu, when he needs to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, he made Yosef take a shvua that he wouldn't bury him in Egypt, that he'd bring him up to Eretz Yisrael. But typically, we think of a shvua, take an oath, to show that I'm honest. So-and-so doesn't believe me, I swear, so now he'll believe me. Yaakov Avinu didn't believe Yosef. Yosef said he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov said, will you bury me there? I'll bury you there. He doesn't believe Yosef. Yosef a tzaddik. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. Divrei shchivim rak k'sumim k'sumim dami. This is... So they still listen to Yaakov Avinu. It's Yaakov Avinu's last request. You go deeper, up to Kabbalah, and a person's last request. He has Pishnai Bruchacha, he has added Kochos HaNeshama. This he's not going to do. Eliezer, B'chol Beisi Namanhu, he's completely loyal. Yaakov Avinu says, B'chol Beisi Namanhu. Damesek Eliezer, Dolo, Mashkin, Tolas, Rabu, La'achirim, he's the person who pours the water and the Torah of Israeli to others. Eliezer is not going to do what he says. Why does he have to make him swear? Doesn't trust Eliezer. Yaakov Avinu doesn't trust Yosef. Shad is mum. A shvuah is not just to make somebody believable. A shvuah is tosefes koach. A shvuah is added strength. Now, the added strength, if I'm dedicating every part of my being to the believability of this point, it makes me believable. But that's not the ikkar point of a shvuah. The ikkar point of a shvuah is not making me believable. The ikkar point of a shvuah, the essence of a shvuah, is this orus kochos, this arousal of all the potential of a person, of added strength of a person. And that's the pshat of the shvuah of Yosef, because Yosef had a very difficult job. Yosef has to go and he has to overcome Paro's resistance. Paro thought that Yaakov brought bracha to Egypt. Doesn't want to let Yaakov go, and Yosef was already not as much in favor with Paro as he had once been. It's a difficult job. So maybe Yosef, Yaakov's going to tell Yosef, go bury me in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef will try. He'll go to Paro. He'll say, I need to bury my father in Eretz Yisrael. Paro will say, I'm sorry, you can't do it. You can't do it. Absolutely not. Save Egypt from famine. I don't want famine to come back. You can't take Yaakov out. And then Yosef would be honest, Rachman Apache. He tried his best. Hashem didn't make it happen. Anus Rachman Apache, Hashem forgives. No, but when Yaakov gives him and makes him take a shvuah, so now there's a new level of best. Because now it's a different person. It's not one person. It's 1,000 people. Now it's all the kochos. It's all 100% of a person's mind active. But now, with those kochos, you can overcome some of those obstacles. Eliezer had to overcome a lot. He had to overcome the Suel. He had to overcome Lavan. We should realize that Lavan was terribly evil. Lavan is connected to Bilam. Lavan is the worst of the worst. The Suel is Lavan's father. It's a terribly difficult task to pull a Rivka out of this, out of such a Gehenna, to pull such a holy neshama out of such klipos. It's very hard. The kochos tatsum are going to fight against it. He needs all the help he can get. Avraham Avinu makes Eliezer take a shvuah, to give Eliezer new energy, new koach. So that's why we have the shvuah. We have the shvuah to remind us that we have kochos atzumim. So Wilson points out that the Hirsch, the Pirush of Hebrew connects the letters that are interchangeable. There are He motzaos hapeh. There are five points where the mouth produces different sounds. For example, there are guttural sounds, like chet, chas. There are sounds from the tongue, lamed. Sounds from the lips, men, pei. Sounds from the teeth, sadi. Sounds from the top of the mouth, hey. Different sounds. And I'm sorry, hey is not ayin. Aleph would be from the top of the mouth. The different sounds. And the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are divided into five groupings based on which part of the mouth they come out of. So Hirsch, and it's really Rashi, and Tekva Yikra, points out that these letters are interchangeable. So beis is from the lips, beis, as is pei. So beis and pei are interchangeable. So that means that sheva, which is the root of shvua, sheva, is interchangeable with shefa. Every shvua is a shefa, overwhelming flow, an overflow, an outpouring. Every shvua is a shefa. See an amazing thing in Ksav HaShuris, in the black beis, inside there is a white beis. Because every beis is interchangeable with the beis. Every sheva is a shefa. The shvua is a hashpah, a shefa. Tremendous kochos, tremendous energy to be inspired. This Olam HaTlaos, and this world of challenges, and the battle between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, between the Nefesh HaLokis and the Nefesh HaBahamis, have tremendous hashpa, tremendous kochos, to win in that battle, overcome the Nefesh HaBahamis, transform the Nefesh HaBahamis, to get to the point of Achdus, unity of Kulo, Kadosh, Kulo, Kedusha, to be a completely godly, holy person. That's the same will continue.